There's something peaceful about those hot air balloons. I've never been on one, so I'm just kind of saying it without having ever been on one. But just watching those and then seeing a mass launch of them. This picture and the idea of a hot air balloon or this being carried along, it reminded me a lot of some of the things I'm going to share with you, both personally in my life and also for the life of the Telios Christian Fellowship. If you'd agree with me, a word in prayer, we'll start off here and then have my wife come up here and join me too. Lord, we just thank you so much for this evening. We thank you for bringing the church body together again. And God, I thank you that you're here. You're the head of the church and you're the one that's guiding and leading. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct my words. Holy Spirit, that you would give me your power and inspiration to share clearly the things that you've been doing in my heart and in the heart of the church over the last few years. God, you are so good to us, and I'm excited for where you're taking us, even if I don't know all of those details. Lord, we love you and pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so come on up. Do you want the big chair or the small chair? You can take the big chair so you'll be the same height as I am. Yeah? What do you say? No. Here you go. Perfect.
I'm always surprised when you ask me to come up here.
Why you're always surprised?
I should know by now that this is going to happen.
You don't want to grab a seat?
I can't get on.
Here, you can sit on this one. I'll sit on this. Here, let's do this. This is... Hi there.
Hi.
How are you? Good. Awesome. So I just wanted to tell you a little bit of what's been going on in our life. And it's been great stuff the Lord's been doing, and it's been challenging stuff at the same time. And we wanted to tell you in a timely manner after coming back from our trip. So you want to tell everybody where we were for the last little while?
I feel like we were never gone. We've been back a while.
Can you tell everybody where we've been?
Arizona. And Alaska.
In that order?
Seattle in there somewhere.
Yeah, Seattle, Alaska, Arizona. We've been to a couple different places. And, you know, while we were gone for, well, you guys know, we were gone for four Sundays. Long time? Yeah. It seemed like a long time for us, too. It did. And I wanted to get back to you crazy people. I really did. In this kooky town. Like, I really... did. That's just honest. I really did. While we were on our trip, I was really enjoying that time. Did you enjoy that time while we were on our trip? Yeah. Wow, she's like not going to... Oh, no. I know who she really is. Do you want to tell them anything about our trip before I tell them something about our trip? I should speak first. Okay, then I'll speak first, and then she'll tell you the truth is what will happen.
I'll make comments.
You'll make comments throughout. Okay, this is good. Here we go. So the first place we stopped was Arizona, dropped the grandkids off with the grandparents. And then Don and I left to go to Alaska together. It was great. It's great, Alaska. It's like a vacation. It was a working vacation. A working vacation where you are the acting pastor of a church. And so anybody can and will contact you and ask for your help on something or need you to pray or need something. And so we were available. Our goal was to be available. We weren't really looking for that to be our vacation. We enjoyed Alaska, don't get me wrong. While it was amazing. Got to see whales. They didn't come out of water. They're big, though. They're bigger than the boat. There was eagles. Got almost sideswiped by an eagle. Two bears. Did we see what? We saw Will and Deanna Hardwick. They happened to get off this large boat and show up, and we're like, hey, we know you. And so we got to hang out with them for the day. While we were there and when we came back from Arizona, too, we have seen a couple churches. And... each of these churches, you know, they have their senior pastors, they have their style and their way of ministry, but there's nothing like this church. And I know I said this the first time I came back, but for Don and I, something happened to us. When I went on the vacation, I was praying. We were praying that the Lord would give me a vision and direction for the life of our church. Not that our church didn't have direction, but you go to the Lord and go, Lord, I need a renewal. Is there a change in course? Are we doing the right thing? Just checking in, Lord. And in asking him this, I asked him to help me with administration and organization. Because a lot of these things are coming about, this need for administration and organization. Now, Heather is a godsend. You don't want me handling the stuff that Heather's handling, because you wouldn't get callbacks and stuff would get lost, and you wouldn't. She handles an amazing amount of workload behind the scenes that does not get seen by an overwhelming amount of the church. So I'm just really thankful for what Heather does behind the scenes there. So I asked God to help us there, to help me get with vision and direction. And wouldn't you know it, God decided to do something else first. He decided to give us vision and direction for our family first. That wasn't what I asked for. But it is an answer to what I've asked for. So one of the things that we enjoyed so much being on vacation was our family. We kind of like these people. I kind of like hanging out with them. It's a lot of fun. You have lots of great experiences and cool stories to tell, and you just laugh a lot, and you just, there you are, just cruising. You're just in the big suburban, cruising through Arizona, just smiling and laughing, and you're just having a good time. And the question was, wait, we should do this more often. What, the vacation thing? No, just the hanging out thing together more often. Wait, why doesn't this happen more often? And started to look at my life and go, wait, why can't we just do this during the year? And again, not getting away, just why can't we hang out as a family, the Thomas family, more during the year? And we realized that we aren't on the same schedule. As a family, we're not on the same schedule. What are some of the things that you noticed? I know you had, the Lord was speaking to your heart for...
In regards to schedule?
Scheduling, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm the only one that's mic'd if I had thought
that's
about
okay.
this.
Well, first, last year, our youngest Remington started kindergarten, and I thought, this is going to be a stellar year. All the kids are in school. I have all this free time. It was the worst scheduling year we've ever had in our entire lives as a family. It was crazy. They had different school schedules, and there was a lot of waiting for school to get done, and it was pretty ridiculous. And we already had in mind for... to do something different with Xander this year, because he was just really struggling socially. He's really shy, and he was acting out when he got home. It was
really an angel bad. At school, a terror at home.
Yeah, he would hold it all in at school and then let out. Academically, he's doing awesome. He's on the top of his class or whatever, but we're trying to figure out something to do different with him. So we were considering homeschooling him, and he could be home for a couple hours a day alone, right? I don't know. So we were trying to figure out what to do with all of that.
And this year, Jaya, if you'll believe it, she's going to start junior high. I mean, and I do clearly remember holding her. Her head was here. Her bottom was here. And I remember, it wasn't that long ago. And now
same
she's...
Same eyebrows.
Same. She got her dad's eyebrows. And she's starting junior high this year. So what does that mean? Scheduling-wise, that means how many schools now?
Well, if Xander was at home, that would be three different schools.
Yeah, three different schools. Because of the way that McKinleyville divides up their schools. And so all of a sudden, you can imagine the Thomas family taxi service, what that would be like. Coming, going, zipping. And it was already a family that I work on Sundays. Well, Jim, you get your study done, do that, and you get Saturday off. If you know me, I'm focused on sharing that message on Sunday. So Saturday, there's a lot that's gearing up in my head, preparing to share on Sunday. There's a lot of facts, a lot of verses, but more importantly, what is the Lord doing in my heart? And regardless of what I have written down, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to share with the people? So Saturday is a full lead up into Sunday. And Duncan,
they're in person, but nothing else.
Yeah, just there, and the kids are there, and I'm all, Lord, which verse? I don't know. This, thinking about the prayer request during the week, thinking about all these factors and going, Lord, I just want to do what you want me to do. Help me. So Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays for sure, I'm working. Now, if you look at the typical way that our culture is set up here, it's Monday through Friday with your off Saturday, Sundays. So with a pastor's family, that can be very challenging. In fact, so challenging that I was literally missing my kids they'd be Friday night. Yeah, we're done with school. We got the weekend. And meanwhile, I'm in full tilt. We're going with study for Sunday. Then Sunday happens, and there's some Sundays, I'll admit it, I'll take a nap on the couch. Is that a nap?
That's like second sleep.
Second sleep or something. Like, I'll be out on the couch. You know, sometimes folks will come over and we'll visit, but I'm just in a chill-out mode. So then by the time we're all recovered, if you will, Monday. Yeah, all right, kids, you're going to school. Rinse, repeat, over and over and over. So for us to get us on the same schedule, we're like, okay, homeschool, Xander, that'd be great. Wait, that still doesn't solve the problem with our other kids. Now, if you know this, the reason why I'm sharing so much is like, wait, is it state of the church or state of your school? Well, or your schooling? Well, for us, it's such a big deal because Dawn has been working at the lunchroom there at Dallas Prairie. So we're invested in the schools. I was asked to be on the parent board for the school. So it's not like we just drop off our kids and we're not involved at all. We are involved with the school and volunteer hours and knowing the teachers and knowing the principal and all of these things. And we really felt that season in our life, the Lord was calling us to be that light right where He put us. And we didn't, public schools and what I had expected when we got here, and that's exactly what the Lord had for our kids. So then we go on vacation, we come back, and for Don and I, it was just really clear, like the talk of homeschool, I don't know how it started, but it built up like within hours, and before you knew it, whoa, are we talking about homeschooling? Wait, are we talking about really doing this? And we were talking about really doing this. And there's some amazing things, because then as a family, we can go together. If you've seen these balloon launches, when they launch all at once, they all go up at the same time. And if they're all launching at the same time, the same wind going in the same direction is carrying them in the same direction. And it's an amazing sight to behold. But you have to be going in the same direction. You have to be launching at the same time. You have to be on the same page. And so it's to bring our family to the same page. So I won't embarrass you anymore.
Can I go back?
You can go back if you'd like. Don, look. If you're ever wondering, like, who the brains of the operation is, she just walked away from the stage right now. Okay, I'm going to go back to here. So, serving together, we're really excited about it. The idea that our family can go do what we do together. In other words, well, the Lord's called Dad to be a pastor, which means He's called our family to serve together. Last couple of men's prayers, Xander has been there. You know, on a school day, it's a little more difficult. Like, hey, Xander, it's 5:30, get up, we're going to men's prayer at 6. And then after 6, 7 o'clock, and then get him off to school and have him, it just, that practically wasn't working out. But he's been coming the last couple Sundays, and it's like, Xander, guess, or last couple Tuesdays, Xander, guess what, this is what we do. You and I, we're going to go. When Remington's old enough, he's going to come too. And it's this idea of, hey, let's do life together as a family. But to do life together as a family required changing scheduling in our family. Dawn's more available too, because if we do this together as a family, that means Dawn won't be working at the school, which means then she doesn't have to leave right after ladies' prayer. She can actually stay through ladies' prayer. And then it also opens up the option and the opportunity for morning women's Bible studies as well as evening women's Bible studies. And so a change in our family's life is going to affect the church. And so I only thought it was right for me to share with you what's happening. The other thing, too, I want you to understand so clearly, this change in schooling has nothing to do with public school. If the Lord's called you to a certain place, then He's called you there, and you serve with all of your heart. Why do I say that? Because I know there's folks here that go to public school. So this is not a Christian school versus private school versus homeschool versus public school issue. That is not what this is. And I would be, it's not in my notes, but let me say, I would be ticked if somebody misrepresented the reason why my family is doing what we're doing. We're doing it because of a scheduling need to get on the same page so that we could go forward in life together, because we really enjoy being together and doing things together. So how does this relate to the state of the church? The last time I did a state of the church was September of 2013. I've noticed this. The church family is similar in that respect. In what respect? We all have to go in the same direction if we're going to be a family together. You can't be a family and have one person that's like, hey, I'm doing my own thing. Well, then, wait, are you with us or are you just doing your own thing? Because if a family is going in one direction, This is weird. I haven't done this before, but I'm going to quote myself from 2 years ago. Well, because I looked back at old state of the churches and I thought, wait, how have we been doing on some of these things? Look at this quote from 2 years ago. There are no independent ministries in the church. We are a family, and a family moves together in a common direction. If we're a family, we've got to go together in a common direction. Have you noticed that we've got a few newer folks that have been coming to our church lately? Have you noticed Sunday? I realized this last Sunday. I looked around and I thought, wait, college isn't in session yet. People were coming in that door, then going back out the door to walk around the building, to walk in that door to sit here or there. I don't know if you sense it, but there's changes that we are at the doorstep of, that none of us can stop, that the Lord is doing here. And so I, as well as you, am a spectator in some of these things, looking at from this a different perspective maybe, but looking going, God, are you really doing this? I mean, Jimmy, you were one of the guys that came in through that door. You're like, we are going to find a place to sit. So what I want to share with you tonight is which direction our church is going, so that you can say, okay, wait, in my heart, am I going in this direction? I want to reassure you that for most of you, what I'm going to say here, you've already heard. If you've heard enough Bible studies here, you already know where we stand as a church and the direction we're going. But I thought this would be good for somebody who comes that's new to our church and they say, hey, I'd like to serve at the church, or hey, I'd like to be involved with the church, or what is Teleos all about? What's important to you guys? I thought if I just share it at one time and we record it, then I can give this to somebody and say, listen to this and see if you agree with where we as a church are. If you agree, jump on board, because this is where we've been going and this is where we're going to continue to go in the future. So what do we as a church believe? We believe the Bible is the Word of God and it is inerrant. What does that mean? That it is without error. If you've seen me teach, I'm teaching every verse in the Bible through a passage. I'm not skipping any verses. There's some passages here I want to share with you. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy has ever been produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That verse is huge, because what Peter is saying there is that, oh, well, some people will say, oh, just a bunch of guys wrote the Bible. If you mean that it was human hands that were writing it, then yes, some guys wrote it. But if you're saying, where did the inspiration for even the very words of the Bible, where did that come from? They came directly from God. We believe that the Word of God is inspired by God. Did God use men to write the words? Yes, but they came directly from God. And what we see from this is the Bible is not open to one person's interpretation. Hey, let's open the Bible, and you know what? This verse, this is what it means to me. Oh, well, you know, to me, this verse means this. The question we should be asking is, what does the verse actually mean? What did God intend for us to understand from the passage? Not, what do I want to make that mean? That's relativism, and that's not what we're about. We believe the Word of God is true and inerrant as it has been written. Here's another one here, 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit plays a huge role in the inspiration of the Word of God. And we see it again there in Corinthians, that these words are not from human wisdom. Oh, it's just a bunch of guys who came up with some thoughts. The Bible would disagree with you. In it itself, it says that these words came from the Holy Spirit. Now, if we can put that verse up from before, there's a few words that I want that inspired that whole balloon idea there. And if you look at the very last part here, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The picture there is a ship that unfurls its sails and the wind takes it and carries it. In our modern day, I thought about the idea of a balloon. A balloonist, as they're up there, there is no steering wheel in the basket. So we as Christians, we as a Christian church, we say, Lord, okay, fill up this balloon and take us off to wherever you want to lead us. And we know this, that God will never lead us to a place that His Word hasn't spoken of, that His Word isn't clear about. And that is the peace that comes from it. So if you have this uncertainty of where's our church going to go or what direction or what's important to us, know this, it will never go beyond the bounds of the Word of God. That is where we are. And we are being carried along by the Holy Spirit. As the senior pastor, when things happen well at the church, I get a lot of compliments and I need to very quickly go, listen, you understand though, it isn't about me. That there is a God who is divinely working in our church to make things happen. Here's something else we believe. We believe the Bible is a literal word of God. We also believe, speaking of literal, we believe in the literal birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus for our sins. Right? We believe this, and this can be a confusion in our town. Jesus is the only way to God. Jim, how can you say that? Well, because those are not my words. Those are Jesus' words. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. If a person believes that Jesus is not the only way to God, then they're calling Jesus a liar because Jesus said He was the only way. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, no one, except through me. Jesus said it. Jesus said He's the only way there. We absolutely believe it. These things I'm sharing, we don't budge on because these are the fundamentals of Christianity. We believe that life begins at... Somebody tell me, I don't know if you've ever been here. Exactly. Life begins at conception. And we talked about it. We talked about that wanted alive. We did a study in Genesis about... And we even looked scientifically. I was a little bit out of my depth, I felt, but the Lord covered me to see the importance of this of life beginning at conception. One of the ministries that we support in our community is the Pregnancy Center. And, you know, through the generosity of the folks here at our church, we have been able to give $1,500 to the Pregnancy Center in the last 3 months. It's just an overflow of people's hearts. As they're giving here, we are not called to store and hoard. We're called to be a channel and a funnel for what God is providing. Whether it's time, attention, talents, finances, we feel the Lord is calling us to be a blessing to our community. And I really believe that Crisis Pregnancy Center, as they're taking that stand on what life is and where it is, our hearts are very closely knit with those folks, and we absolutely love their ministry and what they're doing. We believe that marriage is a covenant union before God between, listen to these words closely, one biological man and one biological woman. Marriage is the covenant union before God between one biological man and one biological woman. That phrasing in there, the biological man and woman, you may go, that's interesting. Well, if you've looked at the transgender as a very specific part of the LGBT community, right? You see that as being one of them. So biological, in other words, what are your chromosomes like? And what's your DNA? Because it's going to be pretty clear whether you are a male or a female. And we believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, but it's God who has brought them together in a covenant relationship. That is marriage, and if you've been with us for the Genesis study, nothing I'm saying in this point is new to you. But I believe in our world where there's deep confusion, the truth needs to be spoken very clearly so that you're not confused as to where our church stands. I said this last Sunday, God is the one that has the copyright and the meaning of the rainbow in Genesis chapter 9. He created it, He invented it, He had a meaning for it. And if you want to know what He meant when He put the rainbow up in the sky, it's in Genesis 9. It's in, there it is again, the Bible. So, Jim, okay, so, okay, you kind of hit a little hot button topic. This is kind of big in our culture. Okay, let's pause for a second and talk about this then. Okay, so regarding homosexuality, regarding gays, lesbians, transgender, bisexual, and all those other things that you have a front row seat to see and experience in our world, why in the world would we take such a stand as we do? Is it Jim's personal stand? Is it the board's personal stand here at the church? Is it, do we take a poll and just go, what do you guys think? Let's just take a poll and do what the popular thing is. We can look in the scriptures again to find out why we believe what we believe. 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 10. The men at the men's Bible study this last Tuesday, we went through this scripture here. 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 10. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Yeah, you don't have to be afraid of the law if you're a law abider, right? Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, and if you've heard my testimony, you understand that's where I was, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, if you noticed in there, you see homosexuality in this list here. It's just one thing in a whole list. So I'm not going to give homosexuality this, like, oh, it's this huge, it's in a list of things. And like I said, your pastor, this guy sitting before you, was in one of those situations, dead in my trespasses and sins. Oh, well, Jim, you know, it wasn't homosexuality, so it's not as bad. Did you hear me? Dead in my trespasses and sins. I needed God to revive me. I needed Jesus to save me. And he gave me the strength to overcome what I struggled with. I believe that there are people in this world that struggle with a whole bunch of things and on that list and more. I believe that God can help every one of those people overcome what it is that they struggle with. Every single one. That is where we as a church stand on that. So you're saying you don't love them. I never said that. We get a phone call from time to time. Hey, so are you an accepting church of gays and lesbians? And I go, that always requires a question. Define to me the word accepting. If you mean, can they come into the church and will they hear Glenn be like, hey, and get a huge hug and handshakes and are you new? We're so glad you're here. And can they come and worship the Lord? And can they come and hear a Bible study? If you're saying, can that happen? That can absolutely happen, and that has already happened. If you're saying by the word accepted, no, do you endorse their position? The answer is, I cannot, and this church cannot endorse their position because it goes contrary to the Word of God. That is not a personal opinion. That is what God has said. That is why we stand where we stand. Now, the challenge the world has? Oh, so you're saying you're not loving. No. We're loving, but we are not accepting of that as a lifestyle that is pleasing to God. Both are true. Both are true at the same time. I believe that the love of God will change people. And I believe when they come in and they see us and they go, you're not the kind of people I expected you to be. Well, we're just Christians. We just love you. Well, you know where I stand, or you know how, you know what? God loves everybody. Why don't you come and hear the word and let the Lord, just ask God to speak to you. You're struggling with somebody, something? Ask God to help you through that. We believe God can help every one of us. That's where we as a church stand. Now, I'll say this. If you believe the things about Jesus that we've said, and, important, you've received him into your heart, if you agree with those basic beliefs that I said, and they're basic beliefs, not difficult to understand, then you can serve at Telios. If you don't agree with those statements, I think homosexuality is a valid relationship. Or, you know, I think that there's other ways than Jesus to get to heaven. Then I think clearly you can see there's a disagreement there with where we stand as a church. So if you disagree with where we stand as a church, then you can't serve at Telios. Why? There's no anger. You're just going in a different direction than we are. We are being carried aloft by God the Holy Spirit. And we are looking at the guidance of God's word. And if somebody's going, well, I think it's this, well, you're going in another direction. We love you, but you can't serve here. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? So I think in all of this, if anything, there's no anger. And there hasn't ever, I think if you've been here for any amount of time, you know, we're not angry at people. God's not angry at people. He loves them, but he is a God who will judge. And so, and he is just, right, Marquita? He is a God who cares about justice. So we figure out where God stands, and then we choose to stand with God where he stands. Some of the things about our church, if you're new, you may not know who our board members are. Joe Kent, who's right back there, the short guy with the suspenders. And that's right, John Packer, who's sitting right up here in the front. We meet every 6 weeks or so. It's about an average of when our board meetings happen. And we talk about lots of different things. Maybe at a typical board meeting, you think, okay, you're talking finances and tweaking numbers and doing all of that. Honestly, that part of our board meeting doesn't take very long. I mean, Joe hasn't eaten dinner, so he's just like, come on, let's just get this thing. Let's get the board meeting going. Got dinner at home. I'm only partially joking about that. We look at the finances, and let me tell you, church, I have never seen our church in this place, in such a positive place financially, in all of my time, 4.5 years now, here. Remember times when, you know, there was a time a few years back where it's like, well, we'll hold off on getting paychecks and just kind of just see where things are, and mortgage is a couple months late, and we're just going to kind of just, you know, we're just... Lord, either you're doing this thing or you're not doing this thing. And let me tell you, there were some lean months there, and in and through it all, Lord, thank you for your provision, because God always took care of us. Always took care of us as a church. Right now, just some rough numbers. If you want some rough numbers here of where we're at, our balance at the church, $9,500 in the bank, $2,200 in savings. Just say, it's like savings? We have savings? We have savings! Yeah! Accounts payable, in other words, how much in dollars do we have of bills left to pay that we can see? Zero. They're paid. it's Lord is amazing. You know, you get to the point where you're like, all right, well, what other bills are there? Heather's like, yeah, we're ahead. Should we pay the mortgage for next month? Yeah, let's pay the mortgage for next month. So we paid the mortgage for next month. So we're not just like current. We're like, let's pay ahead because we know it's coming. So let's just do that too. We have a credit card on which we make some purchases and then pay off, you know, right away. Our credit card balance is zero. So we haven't seen anything like this, and it has been going in this trajectory. I don't look at the individual finances of our church. I don't even know how to get into the QuickBooks system, and I don't want to. The only person I know how much they give to the church when I ask for a printout of it is Heather. She's the only one that gets me that information. I can look at it. It's great. And it frees me as a pastor because it's not about that. God will take care of this church. If it becomes about money, then we've missed the point of why we're all here. So God takes care of the church. If you're wondering, hey, can I see a budget for the church and how the church and what areas the church, you know, allocates funds? Absolutely. That's available for anybody to look at. If you want to, you can ask Heather. We can get you a copy of that. That's not a problem. But I just wanted to let you guys know, as a church, the Lord has been taking care of us, and he's been faithful to take care of us. And that's an absolute praise the Lord. Also, yeah, just a quick financial snapshot. If anybody's curious of what it looks like from the last 2 years, we can show you, and you'll see a definite trend of how God's taking care of us. Heather did mention to me that it's not one person giving massive checks. It's everybody seeing that the Lord has called them to be generous with what he's given to them. So it's not one person. It's the body of Christ responding to God. That's what's making this happen. It's God moving on our church, on the heart of our church. So that is such a blessing and such a praise to the Lord. I want to let you know about some of the ministries and some of the people in our ministries here at the church. Telios Kids, that is Dave and Sherry Searcy. Now, wait, Dave and Sherry? Look at that list there. Here's why. There's no such thing when you're married as a private endeavor. There's no single person. Right? Right. I mean, he's involved. We just don't see him, right? Right.
He's the anchor,
right? So with Telios Kids, we have Dave and Sherry. So the bold one is maybe the one you're going to see out in front for that ministry, and the one that's not bold is the one who's the other side, the other half, and the prayer support of it. Junior high ministry, what? We'll get back to that in just a second. Senior high ministry, Matt and Kelly. Matt and Kelly, soon to be married, well, married in a couple months here, so that's our senior high ministry. Now, wait, what do you mean by senior high ministry? By senior high ministry, we don't have one. That senior high ministry and where we direct our high school kids is to Young Life. Why? Because Matt and Kelly come to our church, faithfully serve, we know them, and we also know, John, what is your role in Young Life?
Committee chair.
The committee chair for Young Life. So, kind of know John, trustworthy guy, know Matt and Kelly. Since I know the people, we make a wholehearted recommendation for our high school age students to go be involved with Young Life. College 25, John and Betty, faithfully serving that ministry. That starts up here in another 3 weeks, 4 weeks or so. So, which is awesome. Worship ministry, Christian and Abby. And it's exciting. That's why I want the couple's names up here so you understand. It's not just one person doing it. Men's and women's Bible study, Jim and Don. Wait, what? Again, we'll get to that in just a moment here. Do you notice that changing our family schedule allows some things to happen on this list that are decidedly different than the past? Care home on Sundays, Joe and Linda, and others for sure. Burnt Ranch, Friday nights, which has started up again, right, Joe? Burnt Ranch Bible studies are starting up here soon?
It's going to be delayed for another month, it looks like, Jim.
Okay.
Yeah.
But prayerfully starting up again in another month. Okay. So Joe and Linda involved in Burnt Ranch Bible study out in Burnt Ranch every Friday.
Senior Moments,
too. This is not exhaustive. Don't throw the tomatoes just yet. Senior Moments happening on Tuesday at 10 a.m. as well. There are other ones too that are not on that list. It's just a quick list there. So what are some? Well, should we talk about like some of these like the elephants in the room right there? So junior high ministry. Some of you have noticed in the bulletin. Hey, if you're interested in junior high ministry, please see Don Thomas. One of the things the Lord put on Don's heart too is. While we're driving, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say the story the wrong way. Hey, Don, come on up here. Yes, John. Yes. Don, come on up. Come on up, Don. Yeah. All right. Woo. Right here, if you want to. Betty's husband. That's right. Here. Go for it.
They can't hear me.
No, they can. These people can hear you. You forgot. Why is your name up there for junior high ministry? So we were driving in a car and we had a conversation, but how did it go? Tell me the first question you said as we're driving.
Well, I said, can a girl lead the junior high ministry?
At this point, I already know what she's talking about. But she's not saying it, so I'm like, yeah, sure.
I like to prep my conversation so I know what I'm getting into.
So then you said, then minutes go by. Minutes. A few minutes go by. And then the second question.
Do you have an idea of what book of the Bible that the junior high should start with? And you said...
What did I say? I don't even remember.
Yeah, I remember.
Tell me.
You said, I'm driving right now. I can't think about this.
Honest moments with the Thomas family. That's right. Do you want to be done? No. So obviously I knew that Dawn felt that the Lord was calling her to do something. And she wouldn't even mention it if God hadn't put it on her heart. When I met Dawn, she was a junior high leader. And you had already been serving for maybe 3 years by that time?
A couple of months.
Oh, you served longer after I left from it, yeah. So we served together for 5 years in junior high ministry. And then I went to kids ministry. I got demoted to children. No, I did not get I'm just jokes. Share jokes. These are jokes. Haha? No? No? I was the kids ministry pastor, so it's all good. So I went that way, and Don stayed faithfully 3 more years in junior high ministry. And so she's got at least 8 years of ministry.
But right. What was on my heart about Junior High Ministry was that when he and I started it, it was already established. We stepped in as extras and we helped and we learned how to do ministry through the Junior High Ministry. So it's just been on my heart for a while, probably since January, that somebody needs to start it so others can come alongside and learn how to do Junior High Ministry. So. And I knew he wasn't going to do that.
Nope. No, I've got a couple things on the burner currently in my life right now. And so when Don mentioned that, there's been this thought in my head of, hey, here's ministry at our church, and this is the way we'd like to do ministry at our church. But nobody can get inside my head, and that's probably a great thing for all of you. But then when it plays out in a way that's different than what I'm thinking, I realize, oh, wait, the way to do this is to model it ourselves first. That way there's expectation and everybody knows what to expect. They know not just the principles, but the method that we want to use. There's lots of different ways to do ministry. But here's, if there's a distinction for tonight's State of the Church, it's that we at the Telios Church are doing things a certain way. And if you want to go along with us, there's a way that we do things. Does it mean it's better or worse than another way? No, it's just the way God's kind of wired us. And so we're going this way. So absolutely no. I mean, again, having served with Dawn there in junior high ministry, I know that she knows, she knows what I see in my head. Some other ministries that you'll see on that list there. Some other ministries you'll see on that list there. Men's and women's Bible study. So this Tuesday was my first time leading men's Bible study. The women are doing a study, a Beth Moore study, that will be over in like 8 weeks, 7 weeks or so. So there's a few more weeks there for the women's study. And what's that? Esther? Esther, right. The men have started the book of 1 Timothy. And what's the book of 1 Timothy all about? It's all about preparing and training leaders. And I have a selfish reason for doing this. Here's why. And I told the guys this on Tuesday. There's not a reason that in a year or two, some of those men in that room wouldn't be sharing in Bible studies and teaching in small groups. But for that to happen, there needs to be groundwork put in and expectations of what are we looking for here at the church. And so there's no way around me not leading that, at least for a couple months here in the beginning, to set the stage for what we're looking for. And so you can pray for me, because that's way out of my comfort zone. Oh, Jimmy, do Bible studies all the time. I am not a small group Bible study kind of a guy. I can do massive groups like this. I can do one-on-one or marriage counseling or three people for lunch or hanging out with four. But it starts to get to this weird in-between number. And it's like we're discussing, but how does that... It's not my comfort zone. So the Lord's like, hey, Jim, I'm not all about your comfort zone. If you're going to tell people to step out of their comfort zone, you first. Okay. So I've committed to do it. And again, I've just told you, it's not the most comfortable thing for me. I'm nervous when I do it. I have to seek the Lord in ways that I seek and that are different than how I seek Him on a Sunday morning, because I just, small group. So I just want you to know that I'm not asking anybody to do something I'm not willing to do, that Dawn's not going to ask a woman to do something at the church that she's not willing to do herself. Some of the other things on here, are there any other ones that seem to be little surprise things on there? No, not so much. I think but I wanted you to know why and how that's possible. So our family schedule has allowed some of these things to be the way that they are. Some of our ministry needs as a church, if you're wondering, okay, come into the Telios Church. How do these ministries, what are the needs of some of these ministries? So let's look at some of these needs here. Telios Kids, we're looking for teachers and roamers. I think you saw this in our bulletin. Junior High, we're looking for leaders. Senior High, Young Life, be praying for male leaders. You will see this even in our culture today, this drought of male leaders. How will men know how to lead if they don't have male leadership to show them, again, demonstrate how to lead? So we pray for male leaders there. College 25, for those college students, those, again, college-aged guys to come, because the college study can be primarily college girls that come, right? And so we're praying for those guys to come, to go, wait, step up, man, step up and let the Lord use you. We also pray, as we're coming to the time of college starting in the next month, be praying for the reception, to just for the reception for God's love to be received well, and that folks, that college students would come to College 25. That these students who are coming from a churched background would not look at Humble State as a, oh, it's time for me to just unplug and just kind of do my own thing. No, get plugged in to a church and a fellowship and a body of believers. So be praying for College 25. Worship, pray for sound issues. You know, because we're not asking to pray for worship leaders, are we? Guys, at all of the churches that I've gone to over the month that I was gone, we have the largest worship team of any of them. Well, hold on. That's awesome, yes. But it also has its challenges, right? Because you have more people, right? And you kind of work through all those things. I mean, we've got Hakeem, we've got Brian, we've got Daryl, we've got Christian and Abby, as you saw there. We have so many leaders, and then so many that have come alongside them and are willing to serve. One of the churches, Calvary Prescott, they're a huge church. We have a larger worship team than they do. And it's not us, it's God is doing something with in and through that worship ministry. And so the prayer for the worship ministry is some of the technical stuff about us being in a 100-year-old building that has been moved twice. We have a whole host of electrical and other issues that make it very, like, stop buzzing, speaker. And, you know, why isn't this working? And what's be praying for those things. I know the Lord will help us as we push through those things there. Care Home Sundays, push wheelchairs, and love residents. Right, Joe? That's what we're looking for. And that will be in the bulletin. And it's just continually in the bulletin because it's every week, every week. It's an important ministry. Burnt Ranch Fridays, as they start up in a month, if you're curious about traveling out to Burnt Ranch, enjoy the fellowship in the car ride over, as well as the fellowship of the saints over there in Burnt Ranch. You can see Joe Kent if you're interested about those things. Yeah, that's all I've got there. So those are some of our ministries and some of our ministry needs that we have here. Some of the things that are happening in the near future, high school is coming back to Telios as far as we know. If you notice that the arc is not done yet across the street. That is one huge building. That thing's huge. There's a lot of sky missing. There's a lot of sky that's gone. I think about our neighbor next door. Open their, you know, it's like, that's a lot of building right there. Yeah. So the arc isn't done. And so so for some of the classes, we open the invitation. Listen, you are invited to come use the, you as in those of you without instruments, are invited to come and use the building. Here's why. Because we've done something amazing. We've reclaimed that closet right there and a classroom upstairs that we're... Yeah, Sherry with Kids Ministry is like, yes! Can they take tours afterwards? There's a bunch... Sherry will give you a tour of our redone and being redesigned children's ministry. I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome up there. But that wasn't possible until all the musical instruments went out. It was a season where we had the orchestra here, and we loved it, and we're thankful we could do it. But we are really thankful to get a couple more, some room in this limited, you know, space that we have here. But we wanted to still be open. So there's going to be a lot of drama at our church this next school year. Literally, there's going to be a lot of drama at our church. 5 days of drama class, Monday through Friday, at our church. And they'll move the chairs around and they'll use this space here, but they don't have any instruments. And so that works out really well. And so that's the plan, for them to be here until that building's done, which is scheduled for December. But, you know, if it goes a little longer, they can stay a little longer, it's fine. So you guys know what I will be asking them for when it comes to rent is donut. Okay? No, not donuts. Bagel. Zilch. Zero. Zip. I believe that part of the Lord blessing us is also so that we can be a blessing to the school right across the street. This church is not poor because our God is not poor. He takes care of us, and it's not just so that we can take care of us. It's so that we can share in the blessings with others. For some of those kids, they've never been to a church before. So just so you guys know, that's what I'll let them know. And just we'd love to have them. We'd love to have them. Some of the other things, you know, high school lunches. High school lunches, we kind of did a little bit of math here if you're curious. Buying pizza once a month and red vines and water. Literally, this is red vines, water, and pizza once a month. It's come out to about $41 a week to provide that for the high school kids, which comes out to about $1,500 in a school year. And we're glad to do it. But I just want you to understand what that is. Now, Charles and Marquita have a heart to go above and beyond and do above and beyond that. And that's as the Lord provides. So, again, be mindful of that. And if the Lord puts it on your heart, hey, the kids love it. They absolutely love it. And the relationships that you guys have connected with those high school kids, it's been amazing. So just to let you know what's happening there. Missions. Did you say missions? I said missions. We have a young couple, Brian and Sarah. Brian's working right now, but Sarah's here. And they had shared earlier on, like, hey, you know, Brian and Sarah, we're here. We have a heart for missions. And I was like, that's the short version. They said it a lot nicer than that. And so it's like, okay, cool. They're here, and they're interested in missions, and so it'll be a short time, and they're out of here. They're like, off to the missions field. Like, they're gone. And then they took a trip down to Southern California, and then Sarah mentioned, and Brian mentioned too, something was different. It didn't feel like home. Something had changed. And then they're on their way back up. They're like, we're headed back to our home where we live and to our home church. And Pastor Jim's our home pastor. And something changed. You know, God changed. So, and they said, yeah, they came back again and said, hey, listen, so we really feel, you know, that there's God's something with missions in our heart. It's still there. It hasn't gone away. I was like, okay, you know, kind of heard this one before. Except the Lord told us that he's going to do it through Telios. Okay. Well, for that to happen, you understand that means that there's a lot of not glamorous grunt work, foundation laying stuff, and we have no leaders for that. So, and they both looked at each other, smiled, and nodded their heads. It's like, okay. So what stage are we at with missions? Next week, the flight to China. No, that's not what's happening. We are in the stage of prayer. This is a vitally important stage in this ministry to be in. It's the one where we can get antsy and be like, well, we should go here, we should go there, we should pray. We should pray that as, you know, the fire fills that balloon, Lord, you carry us in the direction in specifically this ministry where you want us to go. And as I was talking with Brian and Sarah, it may be to a place that they have never been before. So it's really up to the Lord what he does, but we want to be praying for that. So church, I want you to know what stage we're at and what's going on. There's a missions conference that's around January. And so Brian and Sarah will be going to that missions conference. It's a Calvary Chapel missions conference, and just seeking wisdom, direction, and guidance. So be praying for them. Okay. What else is going on here? If you're wondering, like, I've done with my notes. This is what's left now. So we're going down them really fast, really fast. This is not what Sunday normally looks like, by the way. It's all on paper that's not yellow. Church, yes, here we go. How can I help at my church? We showed you some helps here. Here's something else. Some people, when they heard that they were invited to a meeting, a leadership meeting, I had actually changed the name from leadership meeting to state of the church because too many people got freaked out. And so I have the word fear written with a circle with a cross with a slash through it. Because if your first response is, what did I do wrong? Hey, wait a second. What? No. What if we just want to talk? What's like coming into the principal's office? Like, you're the pastor. So if you call me, I must have done something wrong. Or just want to hang out and just see how your ministry's doing and how life is going. I think we as humans can take the worst case scenario, and I think we can then, when we do that, we miss out on something amazing and awesome. listen, either I've been putting on this amazing act for 4.5 years and Don right alongside, or we just are what you've been seeing. And if we are what you've been seeing, then we just ask that you trust us. Trust that we're seeking the Lord and that the decisions we make, we understand with every decision that there are going to be those that disagree with some aspect of it. We already get that. So no decision is made flippantly or quick or, it's what I want to do, so I'm just going to do. No, that's not how we do it. We seek the Lord. So how are ways you can help? Some real practical ways, you may chuckle at some of these. Take your bulletin with you. Nothing like the call during the week. Hey, so what's going on this week? I don't know. I just kind of spent a couple hours, working on the bulletin so that I could answer your questions on the phone. Yeah, that's why I did that. Take a bulletin with you. And then leave it someplace if you want to as, here's my invite. It's got the number. It's got the address. It's got what's happening this week. So it has a radio station on there. It has the website. Just here. Take it. Those are just some practical things. When I see bulletins left around, I'm like, take them, use them. This one too, this is a little bit of the culture of this church. Listen, if we have like retreats, advances, events that you're going to have to pay for, sign up and pay promptly. Why? Again, this is under the heading of like ways to help. Pastor Jim, how can I help you? Just, are you going on this thing? Oh, you know I'm going. You know how much that's stressing us out to not know you're going? And to know because you haven't committed, you can bail and be like, oh, I wasn't on the list though. Heather right now is like high-fiving every, oh, whoa, she's, are you pointing people out? You're pointing Joe out? Joe. No, guys, really, it's one of these things where we can better plan for these things if we know. So it's very practical. It helps huge. Yeah. Pastor Jim, you and Heather seem kind of stressed. What's going on? I don't know. Are you going on this thing? Just pencil me in. No, you're not understanding. That's not what I'm asking. Something else. This is amazing. This is amazing technology. Oh, look at this. Look at it. Shiny, does stuff. It's great. If your Bible's on it, awesome. Turn on your Bibles on Sunday morning. That's great. Turn them on. Go through them. Hey, Pastor Jim, is there like a web? Do you have like the Wi-Fi password? I have a Wi-Fi. Yeah, I know what it is. It runs a few other really critical things at our church, like our radio station streaming to the world. As well as, we've noticed this last few Sundays, somebody is streaming YouTube or Netflix in our church on Sunday mornings, because when we go to print the bulletin, the printer's like, do. So listen, we will have a public Wi-Fi password here shortly. We'll get that going, but it's going to be throttled, meaning it's limited so that it does not interfere with the critical aspects of our church. If you are serving here at our church, you could turn it off and you can get back to it afterwards, after you're done serving, and it will still be there and it will tell you what you missed. If you're older than 10 years old, you lived in a day and age where you survived through it, right? I know it sounds like I'm making fun, and I am making fun. And I am so serious about what I am saying right now. If this is more important to you than serving, or if you have to be on this as you're serving, then for that Sunday or for that season of your life, you're not serving. Here's why. Be a single tasker. Be focused on what God has put before you. If you're in the children's ministry, this is what kids will see. No, that is not what we're doing. That is not the direction we're going. Let me say that again. We are not going in that direction. Should we keep doing it? No, you should not keep doing it. If you keep doing it, you won't be serving. Because we don't love you? Totally love you. But you have to be able to say no with that and I'm focused on something, and that something is a human being. So regardless of the ministry, from nursery all the way through adult to worship, oh, that'd be really weird if they're texting. That'd be weird. Sound, media, whatever, you know, literally everything. Now, I understand. Oh, if you're in service and it's got your Bible on it, I got it. Now, I'm not going to be a little internet cop. What are you doing? Is that YouTube you're streaming? What are you doing? I expect that if you're here, you're here for a reason, and that we're all on the same page, going in the same direction. But we live in a day and age where I've never had to make that announcement before. I just think it's huge. We live in such a distracted society. You got distracted Christians coming to church, and God is speaking to them, but they're missing it. They're missing it. So how else can you help after you've slapped the smartphones from every one of your friends' hands as they come to church? How else can you help? You can commit. You can commit. You know, the first couple years here, it was this idea of, you know, I know there's folks, like, I don't know how we feel about Jim. I think, Ben, you'd mentioned, like, he's too young. That guy's too young, you know. That's cool. I got it. That's awesome. And there's other ones, like, I don't know if I like him. And I don't know if he's, I don't know. It's fine. I get it. But can it be fair to say that we've kind of crossed a point where you kind of decide whether or not I'm your senior pastor or not? I mean, I'm just asking a question here. Like, shouldn't we... Either I'm not, or I am, and I'm not demanding. I'm just kind of like, how many years have to go by before we commit? Not commit that I'm perfect. You know that. That's not true, right? But commit to the fact that you acknowledge that God has brought my wife and I here to lead this church this way. So what's the thing our church is lacking? Committed people. It. And I can't force, you can't force people to be committed. You can't do that. They can't be under duress. They have to be willingly moved by God to want to. They have to be willing to say, listen, I see where the church is going, and I'm aligning my life to go that way because they're following after the word. And I want to be a part of it. Our sacrifice that we do today, any sacrifice that we as a church do today are going to pay dividends in the future. Huge. They may happen after you and I are dead and gone. But there's a limited time for us to make a difference, and it's why we still have breath here. And so we need to give ourselves wholeheartedly to what God has put before us. It can get discouraging. That's why we need to be together to encourage one another, because we all have those down weeks where we get beat up by the world or job or friends or whatever. We just need to come to church and go, just pray for me. I just need to be around other people. I just need to sit here while worship is happening and I can't even worship. But the sound of the saints worshiping is encouraging me as I'm here broken. We need one another. Do not fall for, and please, church, what I'm saying here, you can tell other people at our church. Don't let people go with the I'll serve the Lord later line. I'll serve the Lord later. You know, I'm in college and, you know, I'm kind of busy and I'll serve the Lord later. Okay, all right, fine. Hey, you know what? I'm getting engaged. I've got the wedding. Wedding's coming up, so I'll serve the Lord later. I got married. And you know, the first year of marriage and life's just real busy, right? You know, getting the house and things and all that stuff and, you know, just figuring each other out. So that's marriage. And so, but I'll serve the Lord later. Oh, guess what? We're pregnant. But right after the child is born, because, you know, pregnant and all these other things. So I'll serve the Lord later. Oh, the babies take so much work. So much work for this child. So little sleep. I'll serve the Lord later. Do you know that they can move now and climb? And like, they can climb on stuff. They're like toddling and climbing. I'll serve the Lord later. Oh, they're in school now. They're in school now. Now that they're in school, I don't have to be at home as much. So I'm going to go back to the workforce. And we're all working and going to school. And that's where we're at with life. And I'll serve the Lord later. Now they're in high school. You know, it's just the last couple years and they're headed off to college. And so, you understand. I'll serve the Lord later. Well, they're out of the house. They're in college. But, you know, even in, they're still my child and I'm in a different place in my life now. And just so busy. I never thought I'd be this busy at this point in my life. I'll serve the Lord later. My kids are getting married. Oh, it's so exciting. They're getting married and I just can't wait to be in there. You know, they used to be this small and now they're, I'll serve the Lord later. Oh, they're having children. I'm going to be a grandparent. I'll serve the Lord later. We only get so many times around the sun. We only get so many seconds in our life, and they tick down one by one. And let me tell you, there's no better time to serve the Lord than right now. There is no better time to serve the Lord in whatever ministry the Lord has put before you. Please, the overuse of this line. I don't know that I feel... Oh, look, you know the line! I don't know that I feel called to that. Right. You know, I don't know that I felt called to lead a men's Bible study. But God said, hey, look, you're available, and it's right there. And if you're available, it's right there. Look at that. Look at the look, do it. There you go. Otherwise, people think that serving the Lord is all about what they feel God is calling them to do. Is it possible your feelings could be off? Is it possible it has nothing to do with how you feel? Yes, the answer is yes. The answer is yes on those things. So, don't let a friend get away with that line. I don't know that I feel called. The trash can needs emptying. It's right there. I don't know. I don't know if I feel called to that. Wow. Try it. You'd be amazed. You'd probably do great at it. Maybe your ministry. We're wrapping it up here, guys. We really are. A few other things here. Everything from kids ministry all the way through high school ministry. Again, I'm not asking somebody to do something that I have not done. We require background checks and fingerprinting for everybody that serves in that range of ministries, nursery through high school. There is no exception. You're just a meanie. I'm not a meanie. Have you seen the world that we live in? And I cannot be a pastor with a clear heart in this church that goes, oh yeah, you know, hey, so is everybody checked here at the church? I am, and I know we keep lists, and we have that already. And, you know, yeah, a bunch of people are. There's a few that aren't, you know, because they didn't want to. We're going in a direction. That is a requirement for what we do here at the church. And I think the obvious nature of the world that we live in makes it clear to understand why we do that. What are some other things here? Men's and women's Bible studies have been using recordings. We've got Beth Moore with Esther. We have Louis Giglio, right? We had Louis Giglio, and I'd seen that video, and it was great. And so we had people teaching in these Bible studies. Is there anything wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. But again, what is the teleos style of how we do things? The teleos style is a live person over a recording. Does it mean that a recording we never use? Oh, no, you've seen plenty of videos up here to know that we'll show stuff from time to time. But the direction that we go is we prefer and choose a live human being over a recording. Why? Because at the end of the message, you can talk to a live human being about what they just said. And it's a two-way interaction with a human being there. Again, does it take away those things? No. Is there anything against Beth Moore or Louis Giglio or any? No, not at all. It's for the raising up of people to teach the Word of God. Real, live, in the flesh, human beings. And so that's the reason why we have that push here at the church. So as we're... we got 6 more minutes here. Yes, there are tables. I have, look at this. Look at this. I have a little table drawing. Yes. If you would like some tables, there's some awesome heavy duty tables upstairs that if you're thinking about, you know, maybe for little kids in a kids room in your house or, I don't know, something like that, we are getting rid of them. And rather than throw them in the dump, if you would like, yeah, they're no cost. If you want them, you can take them. When can you take them? You can get them out of here Sunday at the latest. Like, just get them out of here. Otherwise, we'll send them to the dump, or we'll do something with them, or give them to a school if we can find one. What's that? Bonfire? Did you say bonfire? Oh, okay. So there's a lot of things that I just said here. I'm sure that there's some things stirring in your heart and all that. I want you to say this. I've had plenty of time to prepare. I've had a month to think about some of these thoughts, which ones to say, which ones not to say, and how to say some of them. So I would say this. If you have a comment or you want to ask a question or you just want to be like, hey, what about this or that? you haven't even had time to pray about it yet. So I want to encourage you, go pray about it. And then if you're like, yes, if the Lord has not answered your question, absolutely, I'd love to talk, love to talk. How would we do this? There's a change in our church in this. It used to be, you could just pop in and there's Pastor Jim. You just come on in and chat. You could chat for 30 minutes or an hour or two or more. Sometimes happens. I give people the time. Nobody can accuse me of not giving people the time. But because of that, and because of the way our church is and how there's more people here, I've got three couples in marriage counseling. It's fluctuating between like three and four for the last couple months in some form and place of marriage counseling. So that involves time. I spend 16 to 20 hours with each couple before they get married. So figure that out right? If people want to come and talk and ask questions and spend time with the pastor, I am available. Here's how I'm available. That number on the back of the bulletin, call it. You will talk to Heather. Heather's really nice. She will look at my calendar. She will let you know some openings. She'll call me and say, what do you think about meeting with this person? We'll schedule it, and guess what? We will meet, and we will talk. But if you say, I just wanted to drop by, and he just wasn't there, you know why? Most likely, because I'm talking with somebody who did just call, and so that's why. It's not because I don't love you, and it's not because I'm too busy for you. Don't ever let that be an excuse that gets used, because that's just not true. That's not true. That's not my heart. That is not my heart. So please, if you want to meet, you have questions, all that stuff, talk to Heather. And she can get that all scheduled. Church, I am 3 minutes. At this point, you're just kind of looking and going, what does teleos mean? In Jesus complete, right? What does the seven mean? The seven, the logo, it's kind of watermarked back in there. We're a complete church in Jesus. Without Jesus, we are incomplete. Jesus is the thing that holds us all together, and he is, you may not see him with your eyes, but he is definitely a part, the head of our church. What shirts? Oh, the shirts. Yes, the shirts. You were going to ask that question too? Have you prayed about that question? Have you prayed about that question? What's that? Okay. This church, yes. Okay, so T-shirts, they'll be $7. it's less than 10, and it's above what the cost is, and so it helps us continue to make shirts. By the way, each of them is made with love. What? See, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Promptly, have to pray. Oh, there are some, this is a prototype. I think this is the second or third shirt. So we're just, the printing press is happening. It's coming. It's cool. It's exciting. So we'll get there. Yes, shirts. Maybe shirts by the, in 2 weeks, in time for the movie night at your house in your backyard. Oh, you, oh. Wow. No, Joe. No. Let me give you a little picture of what the future may look like in September for our church. A typical week at our church. Sunday church in the morning. If you want to come a little early and pray for our kids ministry, come at 9:15 and we pray for our children. And well, what will I do between 9:15 and church? Oh, if you're serving, that's right. If you're serving, that is the time you should be there. Come early. Be a part of what's going on. Sunday church. 10 o'clock church. 2 o'clock care home. On Monday. Monday is a quiet day here as we work on the next week and get details going for the next week. Tuesday, men's prayer, 6 a.m. Joe's Bible study, going through the book of Esther. Copying, at 10 a.m. on Tuesdays. Cleaning, yes. I'm just doing the studies, though. I'm just talking about the studies right now. Just an overview of what the studies would be that are happening. Wednesdays, again, another...